Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. It's best known for smoothing facial wrinkles, but Botox has many uses, treating migraines, vocal cord disorders, excessive sweating, and more recently, it's being used for depression. Freelance writer Taffy Brodesser-Ackner wrote about the treatment in an article for Pacific Standard and even tried it herself. Taffy, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me, Taylor.
Of course. So off the bat, I guess we should clarify that Botox isn't going to interfere with brain chemistry the way that antidepressants do. So what's the idea here?
The idea is that it's actually your facial expressions that interfere with your brain chemistry, that an emotion is not what you think it is. It's a thought that you then manifest with your face, and the expression you make with your face actually seals in the emotion and turns it into a feeling. Before that, it's just a sort of impulse that would have passed had you not solidified it with your face, and that's called the facial feedback hypothesis, and I want to emphasize that it's a hypothesis. It has not been proven. It's just very, very widely believed.
So this is the idea, I guess, that, you know, if you fake it, you'll make it. So if I wasn't feeling very well, but I just made myself smile and I pretended I was happy, I might actually get happier.
That's true. Anyone with a passing familiarity with women's magazines knows that if you smile, you will feel happier. And people even who are tricked into smiling, meaning they're made to hold pencils in their mouths to simulate smiling, report feeling happier, even though they have pencils in their mouths.
So, I mean, I think I can relate to this idea that my expression feeds into my emotion and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But how would people who, say, suffered a stroke or something like that feel about this? I could imagine you might be a little offended to think that you feel less emotion because you can't express in the same way that others can.
Well, that's what the people who argue that this isn't true say. They talk about people with Mobius syndrome who are born with a partial facial paralysis, to which I say, I mean, is, you know, there's no control there. How do you know how depressed they would have been in the first place? But you actually don't hear reports of people with, say, Parkinson's disease having more depression other than situational depression from the Parkinson's disease.
Okay, so you found a doctor. His name is Eric Finzi, and
mm-hmm.
he's been experimenting with this facial feedback hypothesis with Botox.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about his studies and his findings?
So he first put out a call in his office for people who were depressed. He injected them with Botox, and what he found was astounding. He found people who had been sort of paralyzed by their lives, people who didn't socialize anymore. And he found that they felt better about themselves and they were going out into the world. And the instinct is to think that that you look better and so you feel better. And that is certainly some of the criticism here. However, that sort of criticism, when people make it, I feel like they don't really understand the nature of depression. Depression isn't just feeling ugly. Really deep depression is an inability to do anything.
Well, you admit in your article that you've suffered from depression yourself. So like any good journalist, you tried out the treatment.
Yes.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about your emotional state before the procedure, just to get a sense of the before and after you. What was your depression like?
Sure. I'm normally a very sort of emphatic person. I have a wide spectrum of emotion. I am really, really down when I'm down, and I'm really, really up when I'm up. Sort of all in the normal range. But when I'm depressed, and I had been for a little bit, my husband had lost his job. I was living in a place I didn't want to be, and that sort of all got to me, and I found myself sort of surrounded by the darkness that I've experienced in my life, maybe three or four times in my life, of deep, deep depressions. This was not a deep, deep depression, but it had the notes of it. I had been following Dr. Finzi's work for a long time because I always felt that there was something about how emphatic I am in my expression that is linked to my very wide spectrum of emotion. The people I know who feel more stable than I am in my life are people who are not as expressive. And my husband rarely makes facial expressions, and he is pretty much, you know, steady as she goes.
So what was it like? How did your face feel afterwards?
So, the truth is I really panicked. It's this slow feeling of paralysis. I don't know why people don't talk about that more. I was very surprised at the Botox experience. That suddenly part of your face, you can't move. It felt to me a little bit like being slowly buried alive. But then again, as I said, I'm prone toward drama.
Well, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like it works very well then, because the idea is to make you feel better.
You know, again, that is to suppose that depression's a rational thing. Oh, I should feel better, or I should feel worse because I feel like I'm being buried alive. The experience made me feel incredibly flat. It made me feel as though the spectrum of my emotions had been shortened, meaning I wasn't very sad anymore. I wasn't very happy either. I just became this really sort of cool observer version of myself that I did not know even could exist.
I was really interested to hear about how much it affected your social interactions. I mean, you talk about people treating you differently and you not being able to react the same way to experiences that you would before.
What's really interesting about Botox is how it interrupts your empathy. We all have these things in our brains, these adaptive neurons called mirror neurons. And they exist so that when we're talking to somebody, we imitate their expression. And when we imitate their expression, that's our signal to them that we hear them, that we understand the emotion that they're trying to convey, right? If I were sitting there in the studio with you and I frowned, you would unconsciously frown without knowing that you were doing. I mean, that's what unconsciously means.
Right. I would just naturally mirror what you're doing. I understand we do the same thing with gestures and the way we position our bodies.
Right. We do all of that, and that is some really advanced circuitry that allows us to relate to each other. It allows us to feel together, which is something we absolutely need. And what happens when you mute the ability to mirror somebody's emotions is that not only do they feel less empathized with, but you feel less empathetic. You are no longer imitating their emotion. It was very, very startling to me, the amount of people who came to me over the course of this time and told me sad things or happy things. And I knew the right emotions to have. I didn't become a sociopath, right? I knew the emotions, oh, that's really terrible. Oh, I'm so happy for you. But all I could think the entire time was, I don't really care. I used to be somebody who would cry if you were crying. And then suddenly I just did not care.
So looking back, was it worth it?
It was worth it because, again, depression is a beast and saving yourself from it is worth it. Then again, when you are depressed, you need all the friends you can get. People really found me very strange, and it perhaps is because I am so emphatic normally. But, you know, like my children would cry, and I didn't care that much. I would see to them, but they must have somehow picked up that I wasn't that interested. And I wasn't that interested in anything. And that is also a symptom of depression. But this didn't hurt. This didn't bother me.
I guess I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of people that might have a stigma against taking antidepressants. And at the same time, there's another group of people who might have a stigma against having Botox as a treatment. And I'm wondering, for you, having experienced both, do you think it was more or less invasive emotionally and physically than it would be to take drugs?
That's a great question. I think that I live in Los Angeles, where people will only eat organic food and they have special oxygen machines, and yet they pump poison into their faces. I think both of them are chemicals. I think both of them, the jury is still out, but it was very much the same experience for me. I often describe having taken antidepressants as you're inside and your emotions are outside a window tapping, muffled, trying to get in. And you know what they are, but you can't really feel them. This was very much the same thing for me.
Well, Taffy, thank you so much for sharing this experience with us. It's really fascinating.
Thank you so much, Taylor. It's been a pleasure.
Taffy Brodesser-Ackner is a freelance writer whose work has appeared in the New York Times, Playboy, and the Wall Street Journal. We found her article, How Botox Can Solve the Depression Epidemic, in Pacific Standard Magazine.